All right, cool. What are we doing for the show?
Well, can I introduce you to a new friend that I've met, Gary?
Yeah, I'm always up for a friend.
All right, come over here, Mr. Boots. Oh, hey, come on. Okay. Gary, this is Mr. Boots. He is my pet goat.
Oh, God, his eyes.
That's why I put the visor on him. I will lower it now. He has seen you. He knows your character. Yeah, he deems you worthy. He's here to help us decide what game we're going to play.
Are we going to, like, stick the games in different apples and we're going to see which one he chooses or something cute like that?
I thought about that, but he only eats cans. His previous owners are really abusive.
Classic goat.
I know, right? They bought into the stereotypes. Gary, can you hand me that letter opener?
Yeah. Here you go.
Do you have one that's less rusty than this?
No. This is the only one I've got.
You know what, dude? Doesn't matter. All right. 3, 2, 1. Ha-ha!
Oh, wait. He's like a blood pinata.
Look at it go. All right. Okay. Yeah. So here we go. After the steam settles, it is the dead of winter and all. We will look at it. It's going to spell out a name. It says Lord of the Rings Volume 1.
So is this like the fun one for PS2?
No. That was a good game. No, this is J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings Volume 1 for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh,
It was like you opened it like a 2 liter of fuck that was left in the car all day.
It's what happens when you open up a Coke. Fuck you. I'm Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering with Gary and Cole, the app-only podcast where we play the shitty games that you deem we play.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yep. And this episode, we're talking about J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, Volume 1 for SNES. Very, by Interplay.
Verily, forsooth. Yes.
Barely falls. Ooh.
This, of course, is the adaptation of the Rank and Bass PBS cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that thing. That cartoon.
It's the only context in which the songs that are present in The Lord of the Rings are tolerable to me.
Yeah. Because they're awful.
Yeah. Like,
if you have fond memories of being read Lord of the Rings as a child, here's a quick test to see if you have good parents. Did they skip the songs? If yes, then yes. If no, then no. Like, you could very well just be like, and then Tom Bombadil sang for a time, and then just go back to all the fucking camping and eating that is 80% of those goddamn books that are good, but are, I mean, no, is anybody arguing that those books aren't a fucking slog at this point?
Yeah.
Like, they're good, but they're a swamp.
They're good for their ideas. Like even watching the opening cinematic for this game, like I was like, I was stirred. It was like, oh gosh, like just got awesome. He's on this quest and he has his unlikely friends who will help him out. And like, I was like, great. I wanted to go and experience that all over again in game form. But yeah. Like, you're right. The ideas are good, but the experience is just terrible.
The book, it's weird. It's like it's before there was scene versus summary. So you couldn't just do that traveling as like, you know, a couple pages of describing, you know, the weather that they were traveling through. Like, it, I mean, again, I say this a lot, but it feels like it takes place in real time. Like, it's some dictating the events of Lord of the Rings to you.
Yeah.
Like, so much camping. Even though when I read like dumb fantasy, like, it makes me want to eat camping food like the way they do. So it's like, you know, hardtack and Johnny cakes and cheese and bread and dried meat.
I thought hardtack and Johnny cakes were the same thing.
No, hardtack is like a tough bready biscuit.
Yeah.
Johnny cake is like a corn. It tastes like a big soft Frito.
Huh.
They're delicious. So I had a history teacher who made Johnny cakes once.
That sounds good.
Yeah, they're really good, man.
Huh.
Yay to Johnny Cakes. Yay to J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings Volume 1 for the SNES published by Interplay.
Whenever I think of Johnny Cakes, I think of the episode of The Simpsons where Lisa disproves Jeff.
microwave Johnny Cakes. Are
right. Oh, man. Do you want to talk about that episode of The Simpsons for a while?
Yeah, it's great. Jebediah Springfield.
He literally had a silver tongue, you know.
Mm-hmm. The buffalo was already tame. I merely shot it. also, we can marry our cousins. Oh, that's the Shelbyville one.
Yeah,
that also takes place. Jebediah Springfield is in that one.
Yes, he is. Yes. But
Lord of the Rings. That opening scrawl you're talking about, it's fine as far as the content. I mean, obviously, the beginning of Lord of the Rings is good.
Yeah.
But it's also so one. Mine was kind of glitching out.
Oh, weird.
So the first letter in every new line was not there. So you had like lines that would be like, "You must know he truth about our ring. His ring is the knee spoken of an ancient elven nurse." Like it's, and there's a part where they talk, and whenever they talk about dwarf lords, they call them wharf lords.
Harkening back to last episode about the intergalactic wharf boxer.
I'm fine with the wharf lords. That should have been a Q like holodeck adventure. Why did they never do Lord of the Rings on the holodeck?
I don't know. They did the fuck out of Shakespeare and Picard's.
Yeah, Shakespeare and Robin Hood and just detectives and Sherlock Holmes. But there's never a Lord of the Rings on the holodeck.
God, I love The Next Generation.
It's clearly the best Star Trek.
Oh yeah,
like, there's no contest at all. Star Trek, the original Star Trek is kind of fun to watch.
Yeah,
but it's not as good as Next Generation. Next Generation is so good.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to anger a lot of people by saying that. Although I'm not sure. I don't know.
I feel like that's probably the popular opinion, okay. But I might be wrong. I'm self-selected a peer group. But anyway, so there's warp lords. Like the text, and even the text, which is very good, happens so slowly. Like a major problem with this game is that you don't pace anything yourself.
Right.
So like when you go up and talk to somebody, there's no way to quit out of the dialogue box when you're done. You do have to press something to stop it, but they make sure like it lasts for a good 5 seconds to make sure you've read it.
Right.
And you talk to people by running into them. So any like idiot you bump into in the Shire, you have to read their paragraph of, semi hint.
Yes.
RPG townsperson, drivel.
Dialogue is so tricky. Dialogue is a minefield of just opportunities for a player to disengage. Like taking whatever control you had over that away, it's a bad idea. And I feel like they even knew that then. Possibly. Or should have known.
Super. Yeah, they totally should have known. 1994.
Yeah. Like, Interplay isn't a bad game company.
Interplay is a great game company. Like, I was surprised that they made this piece of shit. Like,
well, apparently the PC version wasn't too bad.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you could see that because the PC version of everything is better to you.
Yeah. that's actually all I can see.
Yeah. We skipped a step, Gary. Do we want to talk about the plot of Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, let's talk about all of the plot of Lord of the Rings. Just watch out for ringwraiths and do like a whole separate podcast. Watch out for Balrogs.
Yeah.
The plot of Lord of the Rings you would know very little about from this game because you get to watch the entire scene where Bilbo retires.
Yeah.
And essentially faithful to the book. Mm-hmm. And then, but instead of then going on a quest, all of your various idiot friends have gone to different areas nearby and have stupid RPG things for you to do.
Yeah.
Before you can continue. Like, this is like the book that birthed the fantasy genre.
Right.
Like, you don't need to make this shit up. They fight tons of things like they did in the movies.
Yeah.
Like the movies have, a number of action scenes that you could do and they do in later games. Like you don't need to make, you don't have to Gaffer lost his glasses nonsense.
Which is why Sam won't join you.
Yeah. Cause I was told it's so indirect. Like I was told to get these glasses so I can't join you. So you need to get the glasses to me so I can give them back to him. So then he can reward me and I can join you.
What this leads me to believe, like this issue of pacing that we're encountering right now, it's like they hadn't read the books and were worried by this humble introduction that there wouldn't be anything exciting down the road. So they wanted to fill it out as much as possible at this point. So
just a story about someone's retirement. Like, they thought they were just going to follow Bilbo and they were writing their own guidance story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't know. But yeah, there's a lot to be upset about, even more so than the dialogue thing, such as you can only walk north, south, east, and west.
Yep. Very frustrating and very slow to react.
Yeah.
Like when you get to the combat in this game, like, which in a weird way is all timing, because you have like when you swing your sword, it's the same animation that I use when I gingerly put something on a shelf. Like you're just holding out your sword for a second and then putting it back into your pocket. So like you just had, and that takes a while. So you have to time, like a thing has to be approaching you and you have to time it. And I kind of got into that eventually. Like it was different than the kind of Zelda just mashing the button
right
to attack as much as possible. I was like, okay, if this was like kind of considered and slow paced, like this would actually be pretty cool, you know? But it's really frustrating because if a thing comes behind you, you know, the enemies just move in these random patterns and stuff. And they come behind you, you can't react fast enough to actually, you know, get in a good attack.
Yeah, and just you are trying to A, discern their path, but also B, wait until they're two tomba widths away, so that your sword will hit them.
Yep. And you have a block button. Were you able to use that?
No, I was not.
Yeah, I don't know what that's supposed to be used for. Like maybe later you do kind of a sword fighting Prince of Persia, like original Prince of Persia style thing.
Oh, I could see that.
That would be maybe fine. Mm-hmm. I'd be pretty into that. Whenever anything dies, they instantly turn into a pile of bones.
That was my favorite thing about the game. Aside from the music, my favorite thing about the game is that Frodo, rather than starting with Stinger, which has a pretty good, you know, set of skills to it, right? He starts with some kind of mystical sword that will turn anything it touches into a skeleton instantly. Yeah, like
a flesh melting sword.
Exactly. I want that power. I want the power for everything I touch, willingly, of course. To turn
into skeletons. Be careful. Perhaps the Wishmaster is on the line. Cool.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. But now I'm worried about that.
Oh, the Wishmaster being on the line?
Yeah, a little bit.
I have him right here.
I'm so scared, Gary.
No, I wouldn't. That's the only movie I've ever walked out of.
The Wishmaster?
Yeah, I got so grossed out by it. Like, it just grossed me out too much.
Is that a thing?
Wishmaster?
Yeah, I've never seen
that. Yeah, it's a series of movies about an evil genie.
Okay.
And, like, it's the same, you know, genies, you know, traditionally in Dungeons & Dragons and in real life. Like, twist your wishes to make them terrible.
Yeah, they're lawyers. You
know? Yeah, exactly. And this is the movie of, like, a super evil genie. So he gets let out and he grants all these people wishes, but they're all awful. So, like, he's doing something terrible to some woman. I can't remember what it is. And some clerk is kind of like he's trapped under a shelf and he's watching, and the genie's like, "Do you wish to not see this?" And the guy's like, "Yes, I don't want to see it." And then like the genie uses magic and like sews the guy's eyes shut. It's so gruesome. And then there's like, it's all stuff like that. He does things like that.
Is this like a slasher movie, like Friday the 13th, or?
But like supernatural, like it's more like he can summon monsters and do stuff like that. Like he's a supernatural threat.
Yeah, that's gross.
Less grounded than that.
Huh.
Yeah, real nasty. I love the way wishes work in D&D.
Oh yeah.
Like, did you ever get that far when you were playing D&D?
Yeah. Well,
wishes were on the table.
If we started at like level 15 or so.
Yeah.
When it became a thing, but like you could, it always seemed a little bit weird because you could just like wish the universe out of existence. You know.
They have like limits on them now. Where they do things, but like a good DM will let you wish things, but then let you, like the way my favorite way that it was ever done was they did it. You do a wisdom check.
Okay.
And you an invisible wisdom check, so you don't get to see the results, to see how well you word your wish.
Oh yeah.
And then see, you know, give the DM enough liberty to make it fuck you over.
So. Yeah. I always knew of wish as the way that you, like one of the few ways that you could bring a dead person back.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And talk about a difference between how cool Baldur's Gate is and how shitty Dragon Age is. Baldur's Gate had a whole wish, like there was a wish quest.
Yeah.
There's a, like, you know, you could say, I want to go on a quest, and there's a whole, like, separate thing. It was, like, full of imagination and coolness. It wasn't just, like, MMO combat and
wasn't there a wish quest in Planescape?
There's a maze quest. You can get mazed.
Yes, I remember that.
There's not a wish quest, I don't think.
Yeah, I remember wish factoring in at some point, but...
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And without Lord of the Rings, there would be no Baldur's Gate.
There would be nothing, actually.
Yes. Yeah, the fantasy genre, more or less.
the way that I always heard it was like tabletop gaming existed in the form of like war kind of stuff. Like, okay, you know, we have tanks and we have soldiers and everything. But Gary Gygax, he was kind of like, I really like Lord of the Rings and I like rolling dice to see if things succeed. Let us meld these two. And thus all of modern fantasy genre fiction was born.
Yeah. And especially like, obviously role-playing games, which had a huge impact on gaming. Like there's a lot of people talked about how like big an influence D&D is on like Final Fantasy I.
Yeah.
And things like that. Like essentially the idea of having a party with classes, you know, is a D&D thing, which comes directly from Lord of the Rings, where you have these analogs of like warriors and thieves and wizards and stuff like that. Yeah. Pretty neat. Like I'm into fantasy shit.
Oh.
Like, you know, it's pretty neat, but like the game is just fucking terrible. The pitch meeting for this game, I think, is probably just some like fat asshole with a cigar coming in and going, there's money in mazes, and then just leaving the room. Because like that cave, like the first, so that's as far as I got, was I got, and I stopped playing, I didn't die.
Right.
Or no, I got out of the Shire. But that cave, I went in enough to get the glasses, and it's excruciating.
It's terrible.
They're awful. Like it's like some of the worst mazing. It's like Phantasy Star 2. Like when I keep saying how we won't play Phantasy Star 2, it's because the mazes are like this, with like multiple entrances, really bland, really hard to tell your way around.
So big. Like,
yeah.
I was wondering when I was going to get to the end of it.
Yep. And my character, so you toggle your life meter on and off in this. Like it's not automatically on the screen, which is really weird.
Okay.
So I thought I was invincible. Like every time I got hit, nothing, I never seemed to die. My companions died.
Yeah.
Like, I went and rescued Pippin or Merry, and they turned into a skeleton right away.
They didn't die. They just were born into their new life of skeletonhood.
Yeah, they just got turned into a fine stew. They just got boiled until they became a stock. Like, Pippin stock.
Pippin stock.
I lost my virginity at Pippin stock.
I lost my virginity during a high school production of Pippin. That's not true. I was kind of bugged because this game presents the like I'm gonna try and dance around this in a way that makes it so I'm not pathetic, but when Pippin died I was like or was it Mary?
I cried like a baby.
It's like, oh, I cried like a little bitch. But it's kind of like I was bugged. It's like, wait a minute, so they can just permadie and be gone forever? Because one of the things I like about the Lord of the Rings is like all your like awesome little sidekicks that you have. They're neat.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And you'd think that would motivate you to like play better or something in order to not have that happen.
Uh-huh.
But how, like Bat's gunning for Pippin, that's just what's going to happen. Like there's nothing you can really do about that. You don't have the alacrity to protect your friends.
They're...
You can switch between them. You can control him if you want to, but then Frodo is fucking under the gun.
Well, there is something you can do, but it requires three other people and a piece of obsolete technology.
Oh, you can foreplay it?
Yeah, like you can
multitap out of the
it.
Shit?
Yeah, you can. That's a thing that this game could do.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Not to praise this game too much.
No, it's neat. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Suggested by Brett Murphy. Did we announce that?
I forget if you did or not. I'm going to say no. So we should do this.
Murphy, go fuck yourself.
Yes, but not too hard because you recommended the music from this game for our music episode, and we forgot to put it. I forgot to put you in the notes. So now.
And the music is very good.
The music is fantastic. It's got this awesome flute line to it. It's real good. It's very intricate. It's like it belies more production value than the rest of the game combined does.
It's interesting that this is a PC, was originally a PC game. Like, I wonder, like, I'll have to look up some footage of the PC version, because I can see it kind of working on PC. You know,
I wouldn't be expecting, like, console-paced play
on
the PC.
No.
You know, like, if you go back and play, like, the Goldbox D&D games on PC, they're real considered, they're real slow. I don't want to insinuate that these are as good as those are. But there's maybe some shared DNA in that. This is less focused than those are.
Yeah, those are like, wizardries that turn into like a tactical.
Yeah.
You know, those almost turn into like a fire emblem during battles.
Yeah.
You know, this is much more, this is way different than this. When it reminds me of, like I said, wizardry, it kind of reminds you of that, what is the magician? that Interplay game. Do you know that one?
No, I do not.
Real weird NES and Genesis game. That's real hard. And has this kind of, like, it's about dueling. Like, you're in a dungeon, and when you run into a monster, it turns into, like, this kind of face-to-face duel with them that kind of becomes, like, a punch-out.
Oh, wow.
Thing where you have to do your timing and dodges and stuff. It's real weird. I wonder if it's any good if I revisited it. But also Interplay, also, like, a weird port of a very PC-esque game.
Yeah, that sounds fun, actually, just in the concept. But then again, a top-down RPG based on Lord of the Rings sounds really fun to me.
Totally. So. And they have been very fun, like, on the Game Boy Advance.
I never played that one. I sold a lot of them at GameStop, but I never tried it.
It's not really fun, but it's an above-average, JRPG.
Yeah. Good stuff has come out of the Lord of the Rings. Like,
in a gaming way.
Two Towers is real fun. I like Return of the King a lot.
Yeah.
The Final Fantasy X RPG was not good at all.
The Final Fantasy X RPG?
Yeah, they made a turn-based RPG that was basically a reskin of Final Fantasy X.
Oh, weird.
It was like Lord of the Rings, the Third Age or something like that.
I never even heard of that.
Yeah, it was real bogus because they didn't get the rights to anything from the books. So they could only work like monsters in from the movie. So it was real limited in that regard. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I never even heard of that. Yeah. I like that. I mean, somebody doing something more with like a Final Fantasy X style RPG system I'm into.
Yeah, it was not very good at all.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. There's an RTS too I never played. And then there's that MMO that's free to play now.
Yeah, that's apparently real good.
The cool thing about the MMO is there's a really robust music engine. Like, if you get an instrument in that game, you can use your keyboard or plug in a MIDI keyboard to play it. And people do like stuff. Yeah.
Wow, that's all I would do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's super neat. Like, that reminds me of, like, an Ultima Online style, MMO, where it was, like, you could... just make your living dyeing cloth.
Yeah.
Like this peasant simulator rather than just the World of Warcraft. Like, I like explosions and numbers going up. I like that.
Well, it does is remind me of what Star Wars Galaxies promised at the beginning.
Yeah.
Which, was kind of like, if you want to be a dancer, you can be a dancer.
Yeah.
Dad.
I got the glasses. There was tons of this cave I didn't explore, and then I left into some woods that are effectively just a maze as well, and my half hour was up and I got sick of it, and that's as far as I got. Did you get any further than like just outside of the Shire?
Everybody that I knew and loved turned into a skeleton, and then I turned into a skeleton.
Sure, that's true in real life too.
Well, eventually
you should put that on your tombstone. Everyone I knew and loved turned into a skeleton, and then I turned into a skeleton. That's beautiful.
That is poetry.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even get the glasses, so I didn't get Sam on my side.
He's not useful.
I don't like Sam. None of them are useful.
Yeah. You have to get him to leave. But you leave and it's just some woods and a river that's also a maze. I really wanted to fight something that wasn't a wolf or a bat.
Ah, the snakes. They're snakes. Yeah,
or a snake.
Yeah.
I wanted to fight something other than that. Like, wonder what video games would do without those animals, given that like they're just kind of the fill-in animal when you need something weak. Like, it has to be a snake, a bat, or a wolf, attacking you.
Something interesting to fight? I don't know.
There we go. Why not just weak people?
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, like I always, like, again, going back to D&D, because we're talking about this fantasy thing, like when I would run D&D campaigns, I always have, instead of just making you fight rats, because I thought that was stupid,
mm-hmm.
Like, just fight, brigands, like shitty brigands.
Yeah.
Just like the guys you went to high school with who were fucking idiots who would hold you up for 10 copper,
Like non-hero commoners in D&D aren't even level one.
Yeah.
Like, totally. Their stats, like average at about 4.
Right. Well, they're nines.
Nines
across, yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't excel at anything. They don't have training for any weapon.
Right.
Fight some zero-level humans.
Exactly.
I guess in this, like... the fact that there aren't that many fights in this, and most of the fights are orcs and ringwraiths, which is probably a little too early for that,
mm-hmm.
really tie their hands. But what they should have done is do this as like a genre mashup. Like, this first part should have been adventure gamey or something.
Yeah.
Or like an interactive novel until you got to. Like, they could have done something really neat, short up the weakness of this as, not the weakness of it as a story, but the weakness that it has when you translate it to a new medium.
Yeah. Like, only have combat when there was combat in the book.
Yeah.
Or
maybe write in a couple like scenes that you know, make sense.
Right.
For it, you know, but don't, you know, you have to go do this fetch quest before you can leave. Like, it's so video gamey. After right. The kind of beginning, the production values, the music, the graphics are actually pretty good. Like, yeah. It kind of leads you to believe, like, hey, this won't be so bad. Like, Interplay, Lord of the Rings, I like all these things. Yeah. And then
it just takes a shit. Like, I came into this, like, we were talking before we did the episode, just kind of like, man, this is so weird because this probably, more than anything else, has the potential to be kind of good.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, okay, so what are we going to do? Like, will we use Abject Suffering as a platform to redeem a game?
Right.
And I was actually kind of happy that we didn't have to make that decision.
I mean, as much as it would be fun to play a good game.
Yeah.
You know, the way it's fun to play good games.
I love good games. Do you like good games,
yeah.
Gary?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of games that are good. But, you know, it didn't happen here. But this game is, out of all the games we've done for the show, probably the most divisive. Like, it does have its fans.
Is there a positive review for it?
Because there's a 10-star review on GameFAQs by Walker Bo Omsford. And the title
of this, he chose for himself.
Yeah, Walker Bo Omsford. Bo is B-O-H. Bo. the title of this review is, even after reevaluating this game, I still lay my most deadly curse upon Interplay for failing to continue the saga. So 10 out of 10, everybody says. So, all right. So I already reviewed this game. Why am I doing it again, you may ask? Well, I played it a bit more, and I'm better able to tell you what I do and don't like. Control, 8 out of 10. Here's the part that's a little weird. The controls themselves are easy and reliable, but this category suffers when it comes to party member control. Fair enough. He goes on about that. Audio, 10 out of 10. We both like the music. I know, yeah. I wouldn't give it a 10 out of 10, but it's very good. Story, 10 out of 10. All right, so it's not exactly
wait,
the same
wait a
as the books.
Story,
10 yep. out of story, 10 out of 10 for Lord of the Rings. Tolkien's story was a bit too complex to make into a satisfactory SNES game. However, there are things that didn't appear in the books. Gaffer's glasses is one example. So, yep, true. Overall, 10 out of 10. Despite the flaws, this is a good game. The fact that the death sound is disturbingly realistic, and I'll add here that I've never actually heard someone die in real life, can be overlooked. It just means the audio is that much better. 10 out of 10. July 2nd, 2001.
That parenthetical, and I will add that I've never heard somebody yep. die in real life. That just makes me think he really wishes that wasn't true.
Yeah, you don't need to add that.
No.
Like, we know. You're writing a review on GamesFAQs. You've never heard someone die. It's like you've seen action.
You've never experienced hardship.
Yeah, he's probably experiences a lot of hardship on a daily basis, but not the kind of hardship where somebody dies.
Exactly. No hardship with consequences.
God. This Gamerator has a 9 out of 10 review that says, I doubt the real Myrtle Earth was this big.
That's true.
Real Myrtle Earth, Gamerator? What are you talking about?
Like, all I can think of is that, like, when they were designing the set for Helm's Deep for the Two Towers. Oh, God. No woman will love me. No, when they were designing for this, the set for Helm's Deep, they actually took the measurements from the book and used it that way, and it's real tiny.
From, like, the appendix that he put out where he just talks about the measurements.
Yes.
Fucking J.R.R. Tolkien.
It was 4 cubits in width, yes.
This guy gives the story 6 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
But he qualifies it with, okay, put down your torches. I'm not rating Lord of the Rings. I'm rating the game.
And that's one of those things, kind of like when we were talking about the Next Generation versus the original series.
Mm-hmm.
This is fraught, right? Because I don't even know, but there's this overriding opinion that you can't criticize anything that has to do with the trilogy.
Right. No, you can.
I know.
Like, they should have cut, Tom Bombadil should never have existed.
Right.
There we go. Like, I mean, they are not criticism proof. Those things are obnoxious.
Yes.
Like,
Oh, man. I don't know. Like,
to make up for that 6 out of 10 for story, he gives the music 11 out of 10.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Are you making
on.
Your own rules here?
Yeah.
God, who is going to, like, I want to get the hit statistics on these reviews to find out how many people read them that aren't making podcasts mocking them.
Yeah. This guy's probably got a Google, some kind of Google alert going on for this now. And he's like, holy shit. Gary Butterfield loves my games.
It's like somebody buying Al Gore's book.
Yeah, exactly. I will.
So I felt bad because I didn't get too far into this, but I'm getting better about enforcing the half hour rule.
Yeah.
This is a big game. Yeah, bigger than the real Middle Earth.
Yeah, real Middle Earth probably isn't that big. Real Middle Earth.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've told you this story before, and it's not even a story. It's just a thing I saw that I'm amazed by. There was a show called, or a thing called like Extreme X or something like that. It was some show on Spike Network where it was like, you know, this idiot tried to bungee jump without a cord. Look at him go. Like, it was that kind of thing.
Oh, so Faces of Death, yes.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Or they would do, like, top 10 deadliest bugs in Australia, number 10, you know, and yeah, do that kind of thing. And they had a top 10, and the name of the show, it was this sequence of characters and words together, was top 10 Earth, the world's most dangerous planet. So think about this for like one, like Earth, which is the world's most dangerous planet. I was astounded by it. It blew my mind. I love it.
Like that was some production assistant who sat in on a meeting and just said, well, okay, how about this as a joke? And they're like, awesome.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's real good. I realized that I saw this a long time ago, but I never Googled it. And it's on IMDb. Earth, the world's most dangerous planet from 2000. Genres, crime, reality TV.
Awesome. Can we agree that Spike TV is only good for James Bond marathons?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if it was if it was on Spike TV. It was a show called Maximum Exposure. A reality-based show featuring home video clips. What makes Max X unique is its surfer voice narrator.
Surfer
voice. Cam Branyard as Smart Alec announcer dude.
Jeez.
Okay. Well, I'm reading the IMDb for Max X, so that probably means we're done talking about Lord of the Rings.
We're just about done. So, Brett, thank you so much for suggesting this game. The music was good. The rest of it.
And you know, maybe you want to struggle through it. This is the kind of game where, like, if it was like the only thing I had when I was young, I'd probably Simon's Quest my way through it.
Yeah,
you know, why not? Like, it's not the most terrible thing. I didn't actually die. I just quit playing because I was bored and my half hour was up. So, but in retrospect, not so good.
Yeah. So, I'm dispirited, Gary. I think this took all the fight out of me. So
I know it's hard. It's hard to play these in rapid succession and then.
Yeah. What's the next thing we're being subjected to?
You will be happy to hear this. The next thing we are doing is Shaq Fu.
Continuing our illustrious career of criticizing games based on sports properties.
Yeah, even though I don't think Shaq is quite the monster.
No.
That, somebody like Michael Vick is.
We could do some digging on him, I think.
Let's make that'll be our mission.
I was going to make a Kazam joke, but that'll probably be all of my commentary for Shaq Fu. So
yeah, just save it. We'll see if we can get Shaq arrested by the end of the episode. Like, what's the meaning of this?
Pose as an underage boy.
Like me and you in like those, not those sailor suits, but those like little Dutch boy suits.
Yeah. Wearing propeller beanies.
Mr. Shaq, would you swam a dunk for me? My friend Quo.
Let's stop before the fan art shows up. So,
all right.
You can put that in your spank bank. Good night.
Yeah.
Hooray for that.
I want someone to draw that pretty bad. Like, I'd be real happy with that. If they don't do it, I will.